So, yeah, I was talking with Bob Nandabu about, you know, giving a little presentation on translating and especially editing on Prabhupada's books, because I've been involved with it for many years, and also because it's apparently has become a controversial topic that is causing some disruption and some confusion amongst some devotees. So I don't know exactly how to start, but I'll start reading a letter. This is a letter from Prabhupada. It's March 4, 14th, 1974. Here is larger. If you can see, it says, Prabhupada writes, please accept my blessings. Now that our ISKCON is growing into a huge worldwide organization, it has come to my attention that sometimes centers are printing my literature, taking collection and spending all outside the jurisdiction of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. This must not go on. I specifically formed the BBT to invest in it exclusive rights for the printing of all literature containing my teachings, writings, and lectures. In this way, the collections are to be divided 50% for printing new books and 50% for construction of temples, etc. Prabhupada is very specific here. BBT is the sole printer and publisher of his books. However, in I don't know how many know that, but in 2001, one former guru made kind of a blackmail on the BBT and forced the BBT to hand over some limited copyrights to the BBT. Copyrights for printing the books published before 78, in other words, book when Prabhupada was still here. And that became what was founded then as an alternative publishing company called KBI, Krishna Books Incorporated, who has these limited rights to public books before 78. And now it's, as far as I'm, you know, this is my postulate, that a lot of this disturbance that goes on is there, you can say, sales propaganda, and it's confusing devotees. They're spreading the propaganda that, you know, original books, you know, they are, you know, and aside from that, now they're changing and they're deviating from Prabhupada, but we have the original books by them, and that's causing, you know, and devotees have become confused by that, I've seen. So I'm going to give you some, you know, first of all, a lot of quotes from Prabhupada, actually, what he wanted when it came to editing his books, and how he authorized both the BBT and specific editors to edit his books, obviously, because, I mean, if you have editors, but they're not authorized to edit, why do you have editors in the first place? Editor means someone who sits and he changes books. That's the job of the editor. He has to find mistakes and he has to correct them. And that's an editor. Otherwise, if you... I mean, if they cannot do that, then they're not... I mean, then they might as well go and be truck drivers or something like that. And Prabhupada also... I'll give a quote. Prabhupada actually said there was no problem continuing. There's no... that it should stop when he passed away, as it's being claimed. So I'll give you a series of quotes like that. And then I'll give you a number of examples of how books have been corrected. You know, where you look at Prabhupada's original manuscript, what Prabhupada wrote. We look at what was first published. We look at what has been published later on. We look at editors' explanations why, you know, why corrections were made there. So let's see, where are we here? Yeah. First, I'll give you some quotes from Prabhupada about what he wanted for his books. So here, make the Srimad Bhagavatam revised edition in such a nice way that it may be accepted in any scholarly society. You see, Prabhupada, he wanted the highest standard in terms of editing of his books. That's a common theme that goes through all this. When a person is willing to help with our mission, he is also a devotee, so there's no question of him being non-devotee. But they must translate as it is. They must not deviate. That's, of course, the other point. Translators and editors must be faithful to the parampara and to Prabhupada's, you know, Prabhupada's message and Prabhupada, what Prabhupada said. So both things are there, high in terms of language and so on, higher standard, but faithful to parampara. Yes, we want that businessmen, economists, religious students, etc. will all be carrying Bhagavatam and Gita. Yes, do every word of our books meticulously and perfectly accurately as transcribed, so the most erudite and deep-thinking men of the world can enter into the intricacies of meaning in each verse. Again, you know, things have to be done properly. We should be very much careful about grammatical and printing mistakes that will mar the prestige of the press and the institution. There should be no grammatical and printing mistakes in Prabhupada's books. They should be removed. We have to do things now very dexterously. Simply, we have to see that in our books there is no spelling or grammatical mistake. We do not mind for any good style. Our style is Hare Krishna, but still we should not present a shabby thing. You understand shabby?
Yes.
Yeah. I wish that all copies before finally going to the press must be thoroughly revised and edited so that there may not be any mistakes, especially of spelling and grammar or of the Sanskrit names. I've read the transliteration of Bhagavad Gita verses, but I think you have to do it very carefully because there are some mistakes in some of the verses. In Krishna chapter 87, on page 4, in last line, it is said, known as Bhuvasa, which is manifested by Govinda. I do not know what is this editing. The correct word is Bhuvasva, as it is in the Gayatri Mantra, and everybody knows it. This Bhuvasa is an extraordinary word. Neither it is Sanskrit nor English. So how it has avoided the vigilance of the so many editors? So if none of the editors knew this word, why was it pushed? There should be no such negligences like this. Nothing uncertain should be pushed. Now what other discrepancies there may be like this? Or what is the use of such editing? Everything must be done very carefully and attentively. I skipped this one, but this is another example. Prabhupada, in a letter, mentions a lot of mistakes that he wants corrected. And this is an interesting one also. You can publish it as it is, and if there is any discrepancy, we will rectify it in the future. So that's also interesting. Prabhupada's approach to book publishing was, well, he wanted it perfect and so on, but there was one concern that was more important, that was get the books out. And what happened? We haven't, you know, when are you going to publish this book? Get it done like that. And then, so Prabhupada's approach was actually, let's print as it is. And then in the future editions, we can always go back and then we can correct, but let's get the book out now. Out now. That was, so that's the other side of Prabhupada. And this is from a lecture in Hawaii, 1974. You can have a notebook. Whenever there's some discrepancy, you note in the text. That is, fix it in the next printing. And that's one example, but Prabhupada gave that instruction to practically all devotees. You read the books, you can sit with a pen. If you find a mistake, write it down, inform the BBT there's a mistake here, and have it.
My brother, he found one mistake 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He sent to BBT and they figured out it is true.
Yeah.
After so many years, you know.
I mean.
There's something inside. I don't remember what, but you can ask him.
I found 2 or 3 mistakes last year.
Yeah.
You know, they're still there. I mean, I find sometimes in report. That's because Prabhupada published is so enormous. I mean, it's so much text. So there, you know, you find nothing that distracts from the message, actually. It's not that you become a demon by... but it's just fine details, you know. It's not, you know... Even if it is 99% all right, still that 1% must be corrected. It's not our philosophy to print errors. Of course, our spiritual subject matter is transcendental, and therefore it remains potent despite mistakes in grammar, spelling, etc. But this type of translation may only be allowed if there's no other way to correct. Then it's all right. But if you know the correct order, then you must make it perfect. That is our philosophy. Everything perfect for Krishna. Of course, you know this verse, Tatvak Vishaka Dhyanatara Viprabho, that even this imperfectly composed honest men will accept it. So that's there. And when Prabhupada wrote and published his Bhagavatams in India, that was his approach. He was alone. He had no one to help him. So he printed, and he knew there were mistakes. Later, when he came to the West, and some qualified English editors and professors like Hayagriva stepped forward and offered to edit and correct the book, Prabhupada said, yes, make it good. And then he had devotees editing his books. It's not that we may present anything crude translation and that is acceptable. No, even though the transcendental subject matter of Vedic literature is still spiritually potent, despite the crudest translation, still because we have got facility to make it perfect, that is our philosophy. Regarding the English editing discrepancies, how can I know? Let them point out which part and on which page so I can see. Regarding the corrections you have sent, these kind of changes are admissible. There is no harm. Concerning the editing of Jadwaita Vu, whatever he does is approved by me. I have confidence in him. Your changes, which I've seen of the Sanskrit synonyms, is also approved by me. That's, by the way, quite a heavy approval. He says that whatever he does is approved of me. Sometimes there's someone who criticizes the Advaita Swami, but he can actually show property, he gave approval. Not because he can't do anything, but because he's very good. That's basically why. Okay, here. This is from an email from Ramasrar. I think everyone knows Ramasrar. He was a director of BBT, when Prabhupada left, and for several years after. So this is actually Jayadvaita Swami forwarded this to me, and here he talks about Prabhupada's final instruction on editing. This is from Prabhupada's last. This is the last known instruction Prabhupada he gave on editing, and it's from. I'll read here. I have seen the 1977 Rascal editor's conversation with Srila Prabhupada misquoted, misused, and presented out of context numerous times, especially by the title's proponents of so-called no editing. It is often thought incorrectly that this was Srila Prabhupada's final comments on editing before departing from his pastimes in this world. On July 13th, 1977, I wrote a four-page letter to Tamal Krishna Goswami to read to Srila Prabhupada. In it, I described three broad categories which we felt called for editing. Tamal wrote me back on July 22nd, 2013. It should be 1977. That's a mistake. After reading it to Srila Prabhupada, noteworthy in the response are the following. Your suggestion that in the future any mistakes which are found can be reported to Swasvarupa Maharaj, Jadwaita Prabhu, Radhavalu Prabhu, or yourself, and after sufficient investigation and confirmation, these mistakes can be rectified, is accepted. And although he, Srila Prabhupada, has certain doubts in regard to the perfectness of our service, he's quite confident that you will do the needful to make any corrections that are required. I explained the contents of your letter and Satsvarups and Radhavallabhas, and he seemed satisfied that things were not being unauthorizedly changed, while at the same time, whatever corrections needed to be done were being made. So that's the last instruction we have from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is at that time very sick. He cannot write letters, answer letters himself. He has devotees reading the letters, and afterwards he dictate some reply and they write back. Prabhupada knows at this point he's leaving very soon. So some would claim that, you know, Prabhupada did not want anything editing after he passed away. If Prabhupada had wanted that, it seems to me he would have said at this point here, he had the chance. But he didn't say, no, you know, you should consult amongst yourself, and if you agree that this should be corrected, then you can do it. It's authorized. So that was a series of quotes. Let's see here. There you go. No. I'll start instead now with how's that? Yeah, was it this one? Let's have a look at some examples of what has been edited. And
that was edited after Prabhupada left. We're talking about that or during Prabhupada
died? After, yeah. We're going to look at Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a main book that has been, we can see, most heavily edited for good reasons, because it was the first big book, you know, published. At that time, devotees were actually very inexperienced. So naturally, you know, that's when they made most mistakes. Later on, they had more experience with editing Prabhupada's books, and it became a higher standard. So first here, there's a picture of Prabhupada. And actually, we say Prabhupada was writing his books. For the most part, that is incorrect. Prabhupada was dictating his books. And so tapes were dictated, and then the tapes were mailed to devotees who would sit and listen and write down what Prabhupada had dictated. And then they would return the tapes. So that means at that time, already there, mistakes were introduced when devotees were listening. Especially in the beginning, devotees had a hard time understanding Prabhupada. Prabhupada's accent is not easy if you're not used to it. And especially when it came to Sanskrit, you know, they had no idea what Prabhupada said. So that introduced a lot of mistakes in the early books. As far as, let's see here.
Can I ask about these tapes? Are some of these tapes still available, or I heard they were copied over?
Yeah. If it's Bhagavad Gita, the introduction, the tapes are still there. Rest of the books, no, they're not there. The tapes in the Bhaktivedanta archives in North Carolina. From other books. I know Krishna books, the tapes from Krishna book are there still. Yeah, that I don't know.
I was just watching these videos today from the BBT.
Yeah.
There were four tapes.
Oh, yeah.
And Prabhupada would record a tape, send it to Boston. Devotees would retype it and send it back, and Prabhupada would record over.
Yeah. So that's especially when we talk Bhagavad Gita, the introduction, the tapes are still existing. The rest is not, they're not. And actually, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada wrote on typewriter the first six chapters and something like 10 verses into seventh chapter. Then Brahmananda, or was it Gagamuni, found a dictating machine and he gave it to Prabhupada. And then from then on, Prabhupada started dictating. So we have the, for the first six chapters, we have Prabhupada's typewritten manuscripts. And then from then on, actually for the next six chapters, something like that, we have this to a large degree the transcripts from the tapes. For the last six chapters, they are not existent. There's only later editing papers. That's what's available from Bhagavad, from the Bhagavad Gita. So here, Prabhupada was working on the Bhagavad Gita, writing and dictating in 66 and 67, and the first edition came out in 1968, published by Macmillan, and it was an abbreviated edition, not the full purports. I mean, there were many purports and like that, but not the full purports. And then in 72, the full unabridged edition came out in the Macmillan edition. And then in 83, an edited edition of the 72 edition came out. These are the three editions we are talking about. Obviously, the 83 editions came out after Prabhupada's disappearance, was edited by, especially by Jayadeva Vedaswami and also Gopi Purana Dhan Prabhu, when it came to Sanskrit, were edited around 80, 81, and something like that. So these are the three prints that we are talking about, and we're going to compare with each other. So first, there's a point here. This is a letter to Rai Ram. Regarding editing of my books, it was rightly entrusted to you from the very beginning, but Kirtananda wanted that the editing should be done by Hayagriva. But I understand from your version that in some places of Gita Upanishad, he has followed Swami Nikhilananda, who is quite unaware of Krishna consciousness. By their present behavior, it appears that Hayagriva belongs to the same feather, and Krishna has saved his Gita Upanishad by transferring the whole thing into your hands. Now please do your best and hand it over to Macmillan Company for necessary action. And next, Bhagavad Gita is nearing completion. I heard this before I started from India. The editing has been too much delayed. Now I request you to come here for a week with a full manuscript so that I can see it personally along with you and finish the editorial work within a week. And I'm giving these two quotes because there's a story somewhere on the web that Prabhupada was sitting with Hayagriva, you know, for a year or so, carefully going through the whole manuscript and, you know, every word, every sentence, and finally Prabhupada said, "This is it," and you know, so, and now we should not change anything more. That story is obviously not true because Hayagriva did not finish the manuscript. Rai Ram did. Ram finished it.
And even Hayagriva Prabhu, in one of his books, writes that he was with Srila Prabhupada only shortly.
Yeah, no, Prabhupada did not have time to sit. Editing is very time-consuming. Prabhupada didn't have the time. That was Prabhupada's genius. You know, he could do so much by delegating to and empowering devotees doing it. So he just gave, you know, you can say a crude manuscript, if you can use that word about Prabhupada's manuscript. And then, you know, his editors, they had to polish it and, you know, bring it to the level of, to standard of printing. This is from the Veda base, from the editor's foreword. And you see it's Rai Ram Das Brahmachari, who is the editor of the 1968 version, not Hayagriva, just for that. And there's so more like that. Anyway, here, let's get to some practical examples of what has been edited. In 1972, and we compare 72 and 83, and a few times there'll be something from 68 just for reference, but it's 72 and 83 that are being discussed here. So in 1972, in 1728, in the word for word, it said, "Asat falls." And in 83, it says, "Asat falls." I mean,
first mean like waterfall?
Yeah, something like that, a falls down.
A waterfall.
But Asat means untrue. It's false. And again, you have young devotees, they're listening to the transcripts. They hear false and they write it down. They don't know Sanskrit. These are, I mean, you know, what can you say? In 1972, in 1211 purport, there are many descriptions of sacrifices and special functions of the Pumundi, or special work in which the result of one's previous action may be applied. When did you last have the Pumundi festival here? in 83 it says, there are many descriptions of sacrifices and special functions for the full moon day, and there is special work in which the result of one's previous action may be applied. So that's again Prabhupada's English, Pumundi, Pumundi. So, yeah. Translating, that's a famous one.
Yeah,
in 1844, the service of the Dharma of Vaishyas, farming, cattle raising, and business are the qualities of work for the Vaishyas. This one, Prabhupada specifically in the lecture said that should be corrected. It's farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas. So, And I mean, Hargreaves, he changed it, because nobody knows what cattle raising is. And see, some of the changes of Hargreaves, they were well meant. You know, he wanted to, you know, translate problems so the American people could understand it. But sometimes he just crossed some limits, which, I mean, he didn't know. It's 263, the purport in 1972, it says, by development of Krishna consciousness, in 83, Srila Rupa Goswami has given us this direction, prapanchikataya buddhya, etc., by development of Krishna consciousness. So, and in the original, and that's Prabhupada's typewritten manuscript, yes, it is there. You know, there, somehow this whole Sanskrit reference is not there in 72. Was edited out or something.
So he is missing, this verse is missing.
Yeah, in 72, it's not, the verse is not there. I mean, and Srila Rupa Goswami has given this direction, and this. No, that's not there.
So this was figured out through the tapes or through the manuscript?
This manuscript. Second chapter, we have the manuscript. 1027, the devoted demigods and the demons, asuras, once took a sea journey. On this journey, nectar and poison were produced, and Lord Shiva drank the poison. It's a little funny, but...
Churning.
Must be churning. The devoted demigods and the demons, or asuras, once took part in churning the sea. From this churning, nectar and poison were produced, and Lord Shiva drank the poison. Here's a... But this is the original, because this is a transcript. There was journey of the sea, etc. And here, I think this is Jayadvaita Swami commenting here. They once took a sea journey. Hardly, our old friend Neil the typist, the college kid who walked into 26 7th Avenue and volunteered to type, simply heard things wrong. It was churning of the sea. But back in the old days in the storefront, no one knew the real story. So the typist transcribed it wrongly, and the editor did his best with the wrong transcription. I mean, this Neil was not a devotee. He was a college kid who was an assignment, you know, like had experience of the practical life. So he was assigned for a week or two to be with the Swami. And Swami said, so you type this. And what can, I mean, actually, it makes more sense, this journey of the sea, than churning of the sea, if you don't know this. I mean, what is churning of the sea? I think that's the next one. There's also a planet of trees presided over by Aryama, who represents Krishna. So that's a similar one. There's also a planet of Pitas, or Pitris. Pitas, ancestors presided over by Aryama, who represents Krishna. Again, same thing. It's Neil who couldn't hear properly. Janaka was, this is 320 purport. Janaka was a father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Ram. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated, but because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subject how to fight righteously in battle. He and his subjects fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. Is that okay? You don't think that anything...
Fought to teach.
Yeah. You'll next see next, but I also watch one, but why would he involve his subjects in fighting? I mean, there's kshatriyas go out and fight. Subjects, they've been protected. They're not meant to fight. Anyway, here is the 83. Janak was a father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Ram. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated, but because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties. Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. And at the manuscripts, you know, you see, that sentence is actually there. Is there any comment on that? Yeah. If we take the comment, the example King Janak had to teach his subject was not simply how to fight righteously, but how to perform prescribed duties. That's what this verse, this purport, and this entire section of the Gita is about. The first edition leaves out some text with the result that it has Janak and his subjects rather than Krishna and Arjuna fighting to teach people in general that violence is necessary when good arguments fail. The second edition restores the missing text. Actually, the comment misses miss something explanation. What has been going on here is that back in those days there were no computers. You know, Prabhupada was dictating a text, someone was typewriting it. The papers from typewriting were handed over to an editor who sat with a pen, you know, crossing over, writing words, changing like that. Then someone would again sit down with a typewriter and look, type everything in. And that went back to an editor. Again, typewriting. And, you know, all the manuscripts were rewritten 3, 4, 5, 6 times. So during that process, this is not the only, there's several examples, simply a line has been skipped. It's a typewriter. You know, the typewriter is looking and then looks there. And then looks there, but then the eye goes, just skips one sentence. Especially if the same word appears in one sentence and the next sentence, then it can have... Yeah, I mean, the same word appears in the same paragraph twice. Then it can easily skip a sentence like that. This is what happened here, and there are, in the third chapter there are a few examples like that. So what is here? Let me take the comments. In the original manuscript, text 18 was missing. So the Sanskrit editor supplied the word-for-word portion, but the English editor thought that the translation and purport he saw for text 19 belonged to 18. So that's where he put them, and he put in a new translation for text 19. So the old edition has a translation and purport for text 19 in the wrong place. It has two translations of text 19, and text 18 is missing. The new edition supplies a proper translation for the missing text 18 and puts a translation and purport for text 19 where they belong. And I'll continue, because we only have 10 minutes more, so I'll just... But that was a quite big mistake there. And then from 1:8 purport, Kripacharya married the twin sister of Dronacharya. You happy with that? Yeah, Kripacharya married the twin sister of Dronacharya. No, it's the other way around. Kripacharya's twin sister married Dronacharya. Drona does not have a twin sister, and Kripacharya is not married. So, Dronacharya?
No, they were all brothers.
Drona? No. Dronacharya is married, the sister of Kripa Acharya. Kripi, yeah. That's in the, and that's actually, that was Prabhupada's mistake. And the type manuscript, Prabhupada had got it the other way around. Because sometimes Prabhupada actually also type mistakes. And that's why editors, they had to catch these mistakes. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. Kunti prays, O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. And in the 83 edition, you see something has been inserted. It's not Kunti who's praying. This is a quote from the Isupanishad. And you see the Sanskrit from here, Isupanishad is inserted there. And here you have the original manuscripts or transcript. This is transcribed. And you see some brackets, which is just empty. This is Sanskrit that the transcriber could not understand. And that's why in the 72 edition, simply there's just nothing there. But you can see the original transcript. You know, the transcriber indicated by the brackets there was something here I did not understand. I couldn't. So, and then, but then it was obvious from, you know, from a translation. This is Isupanishad. So that has been, that was inserted there. This is Bhagavad Gita 9:26. The translation is, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. And it's the same in both editions. But then in the purport, then you have for 72 and 83. And this is original manuscript, but this, yeah. So the long first paragraph, which was there both on the transcripts and in the 68 edition, was there. But somehow or another in the 72 edition, that long paragraph was not there.
Does Bibiti have all these
changes
documented?
Would be nice?
Yeah.
Because it would be nice if it would be online for everyone.
And it is online.
It is online.
Yeah, I'll give you the website. I'll show you in the end where you can go. And not only these, not just these examples, but there are 12 chapters where they are.
That should be all changes there. So if everyone has some agenda or something.
Yeah, and they're there. And they are there. I'll show you afterwards.
And I have to go.
Yeah.
Prabhu, because this can be seen on the internet, maybe some other topics we can cover.
Yeah. I don't have many other topics. I'm just giving examples right now. But yeah. Let me finish. It's a few more. Here is a 220 translation. For the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. That's 72 translation of 220. And in the 83, it says, for the soul there's neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. In other words, 72 says, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. But
it's a philosophical mistake.
Yeah, it's a philosophical mistake. Prabhupada has it correct in his manuscript. It has to be reformulated, but he makes the actual point that not as a soul is created and then is eternal from there on. Our soul is always eternal, has never been born, will never die. And that's, you know, clear Sanskrit. This is an interesting thing. This is 1831 and 32, the purports. The purport was actually originally written for 32, somehow or other in 72 edition ended under verse 31, 1831. Here it talks about intelligence in mode of ignorance, and that's what Prabhupada wrote, and that's what it refers to. But in 72 edition, that had been moved under the verse about intelligence in the mode of passion, and wherever it was written ignorance, the editor had changed it to passion for some reason. There's no purport to 1831, but there's a purport to 1832. But the editors have moved the 32 to the 31 verse. Here is from 2.1 purport. This realization is made possible by working with the fruit of being situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Can you translate that into your Slovenian? it doesn't make sense. This realization is possible when one works without attachment to fruited results and is situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Comment: have you ever had to explain this sentence? It's just an editorial mistake, and it doesn't make a damn bit of sense. What I assumed was intended, this realization is possible by working without fruitive results being situated on fixed-up conclusion of the real self. A double-check with the commentary of Srila Baladeva Vidabhushana confirmed that my assumption was correct. So that's what the second edition says with proper English grammar. What made it confusing was it should be without, but Prabhupada actually only typed with. Prabhupada missed a without. So it was a difficult one to... for the early editors to get right. And These are situated on the lower parts of the branches, whereas on the upper parts are higher forms of living entities, the demigods, Gandharvas, fairies, and many other higher species of life. And 83 has the same, but no fairies. Fairies are not Vedic, and it's not Prabhupada. It was just inserted by an editor who, you know, thought to explain, you know, for easier understanding. All these 16 qualities mentioned are transcendental qualities, and 83 says all these 26 qualifications mentioned are transcendental qualities. I mean, the Prabhupada's original, or the transcription actually says all these 16 qualities or qualifications, and Prabhupada apparently he dictated 16, but you can count them, it's 26. So that's one of the editor's jobs. When Prabhupada makes mistakes, they have to catch them. They cannot say Prabhupada is everything he says is completely. Yeah. But that's that. Therefore, those who think like that should not be involved here, because it is the editor's job is actually to find mistake with a pure devotee. So that's not an easy job. It's very responsible. And I say Kanista Acharyas cannot understand this, because they think Kanista mentality is actually to think pure devotee means also perfect in everything, you know, also material skills and everything like that. He cannot make a mistake because he's a pure devotee. Yeah, I mean,
when farts, a little puffs of glitter come out that smell like rainbows.
Yeah. But also, like, for example, I think you are actually better to Slovenian grammar than Prabhupada ever was. Isn't it?
Okay.
I mean, or Croatian, maybe.
Or maybe he's not so
good. I'm sure he's better than Prabhupada was to Slovenian grammar.
No, Prabhupada went to the school, English school.
Yeah. Slovenian. Yeah. I mean, I can say myself, I'm better in Danish grammar than Prabhupada ever was. Does that mean I'm a better devotee than Prabhupada? I mean, there's no connection there. There's no connection there. It's
there are also some mistakes in the 83 edition, right? Now we covered only mistakes in the
76. Yeah. So you can say I'm cherry picking. You know cherry picking? It means I'm just picking what proves my point. And I'm... Okay. Hi Krishna. I'll address this in 1 minute.
Okay.
Okay. I have a few more examples, and then I'll. Yeah, that was just in the translation, one word was missing from the Sanskrit. Among the stars, the moon is the most prominent night, and thus the moon represents Krishna. That's to 1021 purport. 83 has this much more, which was in Prabhupada's original. But here, because Prabhupada states something that is not accepted in modern astronomy, that is, that stars are actually moons. Hayagriva, he said, no, we cannot have that. So there's places where he simply removed things, but he didn't think this is not acceptable. But they are there in Prabhupada's manuscripts, and they put back.
Hayagriva was also removing these things from the second canto of Bhagavad.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
He also removed from Easy Journey to Other Planets that they cannot go to the moon, and Prabhupada got angry because of that. Mm. Yeah. So I mean, again, Hayagriva was well-meaning, but he overstepped his authority. He should not have done that. So anyhow, I mean, these were basically a serious examples. Of course, you might say I'm cherry picking. Do you understand the word cherry picking?
Yes.
I just mentioned that. So, and that's fine. I mean, I might be biased. So you can, for yourself, you go to this website, bbtedit.com, and BBT has everything there, both discussions, on what property he wanted. And if you go up to this, up in front, you see the changes. You see where I'm going? Up on the blue. See the changes. You go there, and you see the changes. And you have to pace little down. I think they should organize it so a little easier to find around in that. But everything is there on this. Okay. Here's a number of Bhagavad Gita visions explained. This is not what I was looking for. Where is? Yeah. So there are three places where just many examples are being given, and I picked out some from there and from other places also. And those you can go through, and there are 165 examples of editions there. But I was looking for, where do you find that now? You can also hear the Advaita Swami, because the introduction plus the first 11 chapters, all the corrections in the word for word and in the purports are explained there, one by one. That means they're separate PDFs. Yes, separate PDFs, and I'm just looking for where are they right now.
On Jayadvita Maharaja's website.
Also.
jaswami.info.
Is there a compilation like this one?
Yeah, everything. The scans of the originals.
Yeah. But why is... So why are they not there right now? Right.
Can you just tell me something before anybody? The projection. Whatever you said,
yeah.
Still last year BBT made some new approach to the whole thing, right?
No, they agreed that let's sit down a group and then go through all the corrections and then... Let's get to some decision.
They formed a committee,
yes.
Yeah.
In cooperation with the GBC and the BBT people and yeah. The GBC people formed the committee, and they are going through all of these changes and discussing them.
Yeah.
They will took like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then they will define what is the proper way, what was allowed to change, what wasn't allowed to change.
Yeah.
Nothing like this.
Yeah. And that's
and this is the latest, like
yeah, time. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's fine. I mean, it's, you know, to go through. And my prediction is it'll not change much because one time we were a few devotees, us, we're sitting and going through one of these scans, and we went through 85 corrections just in chronological order, and 84 of them we accepted. One we had an issue with. So that's not much.
So when Sandhu, what you're saying, the Jayadvaita Maharaj, somebody else was changing the, not the grammar, but like
style.
Meaning more style, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The same thing, but different. How much of this is here at all?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah. What I've seen, because I personally, my privately, have gone through all the scans and all the corrections. And I don't see a lot. Last thing I went through was chapter 11, and there were, I think, were two things I thought were not, I mean, that I could question. The rest looked okay. My eyes might be perfect, others might be able to see other things, but, I mean, the Advaita Swami is a very conservative person, actually. He doesn't change anything more than absolute necessary. Here you can see the introduction. But you'll be surprised that at least with the come on. I mean, there are no corrections here. Where do we see? Yeah.
Here.
There's a few corrections here.
Krishna in difficult.
Yeah.
Krishna's qualities, plural
Yeah, and we cannot. I don't think we can open the notes out here, or can we? Yeah. What does it say here?
Difficult.
And then there's something.
Difficult,
difficult is not changed.
Difficult.
It's difficult to understand for any person who's not a devotee in the system of parampara. It says the parampara, disciplic succession system, and he takes in the system of parampara, disciplic succession. Yeah, so that's a little style he's changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, he thinks it reads.
But there is something which, like, Prabhupada said, if acharya is doing some mistakes, is counting like what is one arogya or something like this.
Asha prayog. Yeah.
What this means for us, you know, like
the devotees or. Yeah, maybe it means something for us, but there were editors who were authorized mm-hmm. to go and edit, and they were trained. Yeah, I mean, they were trained in the Prabhupada, and they are authorized to change it. Mm-hmm. I'm not authorized, but there were specific persons who were authorized to edit. So, I mean, this that you're not allowed, you know. Of course, nothing should be changed unnecessarily, but again, who is deciding what is necessary and what is necessary? Is it me? Or is it the old lady who walks out on the street? Or is it the trained editor who can see what is necessary? I'd go with the trained editor.
Especially when these things were edited, Hari Prabhu was a professor of English, but he was not a trained editor.
No. And also professor in English means a teacher, school teacher.
Yeah.
He's not a university PhD.
Yeah.
And he was good, but he was an English school teacher.
Yeah.
And. But I'd say, but I agree, but did a very good job.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, what strikes me when I look at these scans is how little has been edited. Everyone talks about so much editing, but to my eyes, it's actually very little needed editing after Hayagriva. Hayagriva did a very good job. And then someone say, but there are 5,000 changes. But actually, it's a book of 1,000 pages. 5,000 changes in a book of 1,000 pages is very little, actually.
Five changes per page.
Yeah, that's not much.
And they calculate also punctuation,
yeah.
Comma.
Yeah, it's very little.
And actually, Jadvaita Swami says this number of 5,000 comes from one devotee,
yeah,
who calculated edits on the first 20 pages.
And then multiply.
Projected it on the entire book.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we have, nobody knows the exact number. And the point is, anyway, I have the scans downloaded also, but I'm just. So I can give you, for example, I'll open chapter 3 for you to see. Okay, so then we start here. So there's something in the Sanskrit and the word for word. Then here, the translations are not been mentioned here for some reason. They have been discussed separately. So you look at the purport. So in the first purport, one correction. Instead of deliver, it says delivering. And there's an explanation. The manuscript says deliver, but the use of deliver rather than the Garund delivering following view to seem to me contrary to idiom. I guess idiom means what sounds, you know, proper speaking. So, and there's a punctuation there. So that's what you have in the first purport. It's not like it's massive changes. It's very little. Let's see what. We're in the second purport. One punctuation mistake. Corrected. Translation. Of course, the blessed Lord is being changed. Yeah, because Prabhupada wrote Supreme Personality of God. Prabhupada did not write blessed Lord. It's Hayagriva's because he thinks that sounds, you know.
Yeah, that's
from Ramakrishna's
translation.
I'm sure, yeah. So this purport. There's one, and where is that? I can't even see where that. No, it's in later printings. Directly connecting with everything in Krishna consciousness was amended to directly connecting everything with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So there was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we must slowly finish.
Yeah. Anyway, you I mean, also I've said what I want to say, but for yourself, go to BBT edit, and I say anyone who wants to even have an opinion should at least go and study that website. And most I've known, they haven't done that. They don't even know the website is there. But they, and there's, yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.